Over the past over the past weeks, we have been speaking about breakthrough faith. It's just living a life in the possible when our minds and when we look at situations and we say impossible. But with God, all things are possible. That doesn't mean that I can say, well, with all things are possible, I'm going to go and fly a plane. I'm not. But there is things in our life that we come across that we just, situations, we just think there is no way out of this. The situation is not going to change. But let me say, with God in the mix, when God is with us, things can and do change in our lives. I believe that. And if you are a believer, I want to say that your story is a story that can bring to others just that faith, that breakthrough faith. We've heard some of the stories here as people are facing difficult times and they are still pressing in and being persistent and worshiping and praying and thanking God. Do you know, I believe it releases faith to us that we look and we say, well, they can do it. I wonder if it will happen for me. And it gives you that faith just to step in and to press in. So you have a story, but we have a story because of his story, of Jesus' story, what Jesus has done for us. And my prayer is that we will discover more and more of what Jesus has done. Do you know, for myself, I don't think I comprehend or realize just how much God has saved me and what that really means for my life. And more as I journey with him, I get another glimpse of that revelation. And that awe of God comes. Wow, I worship you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. And I want us to be reminded this morning, and we're going to be having communion at the end. I want to pray for the sick this morning. I felt really an encouragement from God to really pray for those that are sick this morning and see healing released through our lives. And so I wanted to start with Psalm 107, verses 1 to 2. And this is a message for all of us. Well, the whole Bible is a message for all of us. Psalm 107, verses 1 to 2. Great to hear the sound of turning pages. Page 493 there in my Bible. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others that he has redeemed you. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies, for he has gathered the exiles from many lands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak it out. Psalm 107, just a great psalm, the first three verses about our worship. But in this psalm, there is a call to worship. There is a call to worship and be thankful to God for what he has done in our life. There is a call, there's deliverance in this psalm. There's salvation, there's healing, there's peace. There is renewal that happens through this psalm that you will see the testimony of God and people there as God has saved them. God's faithfulness brought deliverance to the people here just from Babylon there as they were taken into captive, and then the time came when God's deliverance and they were allowed to go back home to Jerusalem and to their homes. there. But the first three verses is a call to worship. And you know, I believe in these days, there's an urgency and there's even greater call. And just that draw of the Holy Spirit to worship God in these days. Why is worship so important? Is it because we get to sing our favorite songs? It's not, because it takes our eyes off our situation and puts it on to someone who is greater than any situation that we face. It puts our faith and our eyes on Jesus, on God who can bring change. And that, for many of us, is where we need to begin to focus. That's why worship is so important. You know, if you're facing difficult times, get some worship music on and begin to worship God. You know, we tend to focus on our situation. God, deliver me from this situation. God, change this situation. God, smite that person. Kill that person, God. Lord, for what they said to me. And we focus all our attention and all our focus is on our situation. But worship gets us to change our focus. And Jesus becomes the focus of our worship. The church, I believe, these days is in need of being renewed and awakened. There's an urgency to pray. I thank God for just the stirring in people's lives to pray and to seek God for our nation. And as Andrew prayed for our nation, this nation needs to turn to God. Can a nation be changed in a day? The Bible says it can. What a miracle if we saw. But that's why we need to pray for those that are making decisions. For making decisions. And yes, we do have Christians who are in parliament and in serving the nation and serving God. And they need our prayers today, because what a place to be serving God. And again, for this difficult times that we are in. And that is again why we need to worship God. To keep our eyes fixed on Him. We need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our nation, upon our churches. We need, I believe, that repentance. And more and more, you know, as Acts, the book of Acts talks about the times of refreshing will come. It talks about coming and confessing our sins and repentance. And I believe God is going to come and bring just such a presence where people will just be under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and just come to God. Such would be the presence of God in this place. That we would believe the word of God and not the word of our world. Has the Lord redeemed you? Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak it out. What are we called to do? We are called to worship God. Why? Why would we worship God? Because He, as it says here, He is faithful. His love endures forever. That's God. That's the God that you serve. You're very quiet. You're very quiet. Do you know, I believe as we realize more and more what God has done, there's an overflow of thanks and praise to Him. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. We have been redeemed. We have been purchased. We have been brought back. Do you know, the people of Israel were brought out of Egypt so that they could be taken into the promised land, the promises of God. And the people that were captive in Babylon were brought out that they would go enter into the promises of God. God's word says that they would be in captivity for a certain period of time and then they would be brought out to be brought in. Do you know, we are saved. And God has redeemed us, not so as we've now got our golden ticket. I've got a golden ticket. I am going to heaven. It's not an insurance policy. But God has brought us out. God has saved us. God has redeemed us to give us a future, to give us a hope, to give us purpose, to put a call on our lives. Not just to go to heaven. The promised land I've got here needs to be possessed. And the sad thing is about the promised land was some of the tribes, certainly two of them if I can remember, decided, can we just stay here? Can we just settle here? We know that you're moving into the land that God has promised, but there's quite a lot of danger in there. There's some scary people in there. And so I believe fear caused them. But Joshua, as he said, well, you can stay here, but you will help us fight and get into that land, and then you can settle. And when these two tribes settled, who was the first tribes to get attacked by enemies? It was those who settled. And God is calling us to possess the land, to possess our inheritance in Him, the salvation story. What has God done for you? Let the redeemed of the Lord tell a story. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 3. And we're going to be speaking from this and then coming round communion together. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 31. Romans chapter 3. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets of long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God in His grace freely made us right in His sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when He freed us from the penalty of sin. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. The sacrifice shows that God was being fair when He held back and did not punish those who sinned in past times. For He was looking ahead and including them in what He would do in this present time. God demonstrated this, or God did this, to demonstrate His righteousness. For He Himself is fair and just and makes sinners right in His sight when they believe in Jesus. Paul is unpacking this story, this chapter here, about what Christ has done. Romans chapter 3 is probably a bit like, do you want the good news or do you want the bad news? Anyone ever said that to you? Do you want the good news? Or do you want the bad news? Whoever asked for the good news first? Who always asks for the bad news first? Who's just not cared what response you're going to give me? Do you want the good news or do you want the bad news? Romans chapter 3, they say, is essential, it is crucial that we understand this. It is the heart of the matter regarding the gospel. It's the crux of the matter. Okay, let's get to the crux of the matter. And this, in these verses, is a crux of the matter. The crux stems from the word cross. The cross is the one. The cross is what matters. The death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul says himself, I want to know Christ. and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. The bad news is, okay, wait for it, here it comes. The bad news, no one is righteous. No one is truly wise or seeking God. All have turned from God. No one does any good. The way we speak, it says, the way we speak, our language, what we're saying, is like the smell from an open grave. I mean, Paul, he's getting tore in. We lie, curse, speak from a place of bitterness, no fear of God. This is what the world was before Jesus came. We can't make things right by trying to be good. We try and obey the law. We try and be good. But there is no way that we can. What is God's standard? For those guys who have been sitting exams they would normally have, what is it? What's the pass mark? What's the pass mark? I would always love it when they said 52%, because I would always just skim over. But when they say, well, it's a 75% pass mark, 80% pass mark, what's God's pass mark? 100%. 100%. And you're in. You can get 100%, you're in. No one. There was only one person who could make it, and that was Jesus Christ. And he came. He was the perfect sacrifice for us. He is the good news. This is a message that we don't want to hear when we become aware just of how far away from God we were. But now, it's the verse we started with, verse 21, but now. Come on, turn to someone, say, but now. But now. But now. But now. God has made a way. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Salvation has come through Jesus Christ. That in our darkness and in our sin, that while we were so far off from God, that he came and he found us and he took our lives and he cleaned us up as we gave our lives to him. It's when we understand how lost we were, how steeped in sin and far away from God, that we understand the power of the grace of God and what he has done. The sad thing is that many, even some Christians, are living in that place of being the worthless worm. That God, I am in a dark place. God, I am sinful. God, and they see themselves. But let me tell you, if you are a believer here today, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you are a new creation created in Christ Jesus. You are forgiven. You're forgiven. A global conference of experts, one meeting, and they were looking at all the different religions of the world, and they were trying to decide if the Christian faith had anything unique about Christianity, anything unique about it. And this debate was going on. And as they spoke and they tried to unpack, did Christianity have anything unique about it that was different from the other religions? They couldn't agree on it. And C.S. Lewis, as he walked into the meeting, saw them all discussing, said, what was going on? What are you talking about? And on hearing that they were discussing what Christianity's unique distinctive was, C.S. Lewis responded, very easy. It is grace. The grace of God. Unmerited. God is faithful. His grace has been showered upon us, a free gift, but not cheap. But not cheap. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, His grace is towards you. We have been saved by grace. Jesus has redeemed us. He has bought us back. The purchase price? His blood. His blood. Paul, as he is sharing this and speaking this, or someone reading the letter, is speaking to people who were slaves. Who were slaves. Andrew, can you come out? Yeah, these two lovely girls come out as well. Just stand up here. Yeah, let's bring Ken and Cheryl out as well. Come on. I know you hate that. Come on, just line up. Do you know, one third of the Roman population, they say, was slaves. And yeah, come and line up with these other slaves here. And you know, the marketplace would be that these slaves would be presented to the people who would come, and you would waking up one morning and think, the chores about this house are just getting too much. We need a slave. Okay, nip out and buy a slave. So let's nip down to the marketplace, and the slave trader here would be like, okay, what about this fine bunch? Okay, who will start the bidding? Let's, Cheryl. I'll tell you, Cheryl, her hospitality, oh, her goodness, I'll tell you. Let us start the bidding at £1,000. Kat, do we have £1,000 there? Yeah, I see that hand. So they'll be there, delivered on Tuesday. Kenneth, well, I'm not sure what qualities he's got. But I think we should start the bidding. Who'll give me £5 for him? You would, yes, sold. Sold. But you know, Paul is talking about being redeemed, being bought back. And you know, just imagine, as Paul is talking about being redeemed and redemption, being bought back, being purchased, that what's going through the minds of these slaves, and they would be thinking, that's just like people buying us. And just imagine, and you know, I'm just imagining, because as these slaves here and people are buying these slaves, what about the one that nobody wants? So what's left? You know, it's like the football team. You pick first, then you. And so, okay, you always pick the best first, and then you go down. Who's ever been the last? I have been the last to be picked. I have been the last until I managed to be able to run fast, and then I became probably about third. But just imagine what has gone through the minds of these slaves as they're put in front of people and they've just been purchased. Do you know, Jesus Christ has redeemed us, and He has come and says, by the way, I'll take them all. And I'll take you, Charlie, and I'll take Karen, and you. I'm buying them all. I want them all. Thank you, guys. You can sit down. Yes, you were wonderful slaves. Jesus Christ came. We were in the hands of the enemy, Satan. The devil is our enemy. And he had held us in captivity and addictions and dark places. He had hold of us. He had us. And Jesus came and he says, I want them back. And in my head, I'm thinking the devil would say, well, it's going to cost you. And Jesus would say, yeah, I'll pay the price. What's the price? Death. Jesus paid the price for us with his blood. And you are no longer, yeah, we are, as we heard on Tuesday night, slaves to Jesus Christ. That Jesus has purchased us. Jesus has purchased us. The law had to be satisfied. The law says if you break the law, you get punished. And we deserve the punishment of God. We deserve. We were up in court. We were before there and we were guilty. We were guilty. And the judge has says, you're free to go. Because someone else has accepted responsibility. Someone else is paying the price for your guilt. You are not guilty. Because someone else is guilty. It was Jesus. He took the price of our sin. He took upon himself. But now you are dead. Now you are alive. But now you were lost, or you were lost. But now you are found. You were rejected. But now you are accepted. You were in darkness. But now you are in the light of his glorious kingdom. You were in the kingdom of Satan, but now you are part of the kingdom of God. You are a child of God in the family of God. You were guilty, and now you are not guilty. You are free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. During a severe potato famine, I'm just going to read this, and then we're going to come around communion, and our time will come to an end for the service that is. During a severe potato famine in Ireland, several families wrote letters to their landlord saying that they had absolutely no money to pay the rent, and they begged to be let off the debt. The Irish landlord, Canon Andrew Robert Fawcett, wrote back to his tenants, and he explained that it was impossible to let them off of their debts. It would set a bad precedent if he let them off. They had to pay every single penny of the rent. But, he wrote, I have enclosed something that might help. And he sent a check for a very large sum of money, which was more than covered all of their debts. All of their debts. Their hearts leapt with joy as they read the words, but I have enclosed a check. He paid the price of their debt. In the same way, Romans chapter 3, verse 21, but now God has shown a way to be made right with him. It is through Jesus Christ. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then tell your story. On your seat, you will have a small white card. That card is there. And I want you to be intentional about something. I want you to take that card, and I want you to write on it, ask God a question. God, who can I share? Who do you want me to share my story with? And just think of a name and put that name on it. You know, we have people sharing from here, but that story is not just for here, it is for out there. And yes, we can share our story with one another as well. I want to encourage you, as you maybe are meeting people for lunch or coffee, that you just begin to say, so what's your story? So what's your story? Or be bold and say, guys, can I just share my story? Next week, I'm going to share a bit of my story of just what Holy Spirit did in my life. Someone who was very, probably against some of the moves of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what I mean? Not sure if it was God. and how God just came and just changed my life when I encountered the power of the Holy Spirit. But you have a story. You have a story because Jesus, his story. So I'm going to ask Ryan, would you come back, Ryan, and just play the guitar quietly?